Our first lesson is from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Praise be to God, God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to had to suffer grief of all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Through him, or though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Second reading is from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Though the fig tree does not bud and there is no grapes in the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is from the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you for your word and all the comfort it brings, the joy that it brings, the peace that it brings, the love that it brings. You know, because you are in this word, Lord, and you're alive in it. So let it speak to us this morning and every day. Amen. Alrighty. So we're working through the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There we go. And today it's all about joy. But shouldn't that be every day? Shouldn't it be all about joy? Because of what God has done for us, what he's made available to us, and the way he walks with us. Absolutely. Life's going to come with, you know, tough times and good times. But let us focus on joy, right? Let that be our focus, along with the peace and the patience and the kindness and all the other fruits of the Spirit that should just well up within us as Christians. These are fruits of the Spirit. If the Spirit dwells within us, should be bearing fruit through us, all right? Let us be fertile ground for that so we can produce for him. So when you think of joy, maybe you think of a bubbling enthusiasm, an uncontained, unrestrained, like a little kid that just opened up a present that's a puppy or something. They can't even talk because they're so excited, right? And there certainly is that kind of joy. And occasionally we get to experience it. But does that joy last? Now it's sort of a whoop, you know, and then you get back down to your norm again. And sometimes you're going to have the valleys, and sometimes you're going to have the mountains, but we have that baseline for each of us. So this type of joy is not sustainable, but when we get to experience it, treasure those moments. They're great. And when you get to see someone else rejoicing like that, join in. Okay, share that joy. There's also a quiet joy, like a peace and a contentment. I just picture, you know, living in a cabin in the mountains with this big grassy meadow before me, you know, and some good books to read and good fishing in the stream down there. And, you know, there's a joy in that. And that joy is ongoing. That's sort of sustainable. And the presence of God in that, you know, just seeing it in nature like that, that his presence. And that brings joy as well. It brings security and peace. And to experience that is great. Again, you're going to have the good times and the bad times, but your baseline is, you know, pretty high if you've got that kind of joy going on. And it's all about God's presence. That's what gives us that joy. So again, envisioning that cabin, and I can just see the green meadows before me with the flowers and, you know, the trees, and then the stream down there with the good fishing and everything like that, and all that from God. And does nature glorify God? Does nature testify to his existence? Absolutely. And nature rejoices. It's what we've heard in the psalm today, right? Shout for joy, all the earth, not just the people, all the earth, shout for joy. Burst into jubilant song with music. And the opening music here definitely had that jubilant theme to it, too. I love it. Make music to the Lord with the harp, that the sound of singing, the trumpets, the blast of the ram's horn, shout for joy before the Lord the King. So with all kinds of different ways we can bring forth joy, right? With all kinds of different things, and music is a great vehicle for that. But not just man-made music. Let the sea resound and everything is in it, the world and all who live in it, the rivers clapping their hands, etc. I think about nature here. Soon we're going to have the birds coming back, you know, the ones that have migrated south. We live on a duck slough, sort of, and the red-winged blackbirds come back, and they start trilling, and I just know it's spring when I hear that. You start to see the robins, and nature just joins in. You get up before the sunrise, and you open up the windows, and you just start to hear the earth come alive, and every creature lifting up its voice. And you just imagine them all praising God together. Just this melodious sound. It's sort of a cacophony in a way, but it's melodious, and it's even got a harmony to it. Everything's just joining in its own way, everything praising him. And I just love that, when creation joins in. But here we have even inanimate things joining in. The sea resounding and everything in it. The world and all who live in it, yes. The rivers clapping their hands. The mountains singing together for joy. What does that sound like? Rivers clapping their hands, the mountains singing for joy. I mean, all of creation praising the Creator. And the joy in that. The joy in that. So, I don't know, this spring, just take time to appreciate that. It's coming. You know, it's coming. And we're going to have all that going on again. The beauty of it and the joy that comes with it. Now, joy is something that we experience as humans too, of course. It's not just all about nature. And joy is going to have some different aspects. We heard about it a little bit in 1 Peter today. Peter's writing a letter to the people. And he's starting out, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Yes. He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's a reason to rejoice right there, that we have new life. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, you can have new life in Jesus. It's like a start over in a way. It's sort of like a do-over. Sometimes you have things in your life you wish you could do over. We all do. Okay. But here's like a big control-alt-delete, a big reset when we accept Jesus, and all of a sudden we have this new shot at life and a new life to rejoice in. And we are given an inheritance, it says, that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Not an earthly inheritance. This is an eternal. The things of God are eternal. What surrounds us, what we see, is the temporal, right? It's just here for a while. This earth is going to not be here forever either. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. We know that. So the things of earth are temporal, but the things of God are eternal. And this inheritance from God, eternal. Awaiting for you, kept in heaven for you, it says. And then he says, in all this you greatly rejoice. And this is cause for rejoice. Because, you know, a new life, a better life awaits us. And that's going to be great. So in this you greatly rejoice, though for now, for a little while you're still living, you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. Absolutely, trials are going to come. But James speaks of that too, if we just backtrack to that. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Joy because of trials? Because of suffering and persecution and the like? Yeah, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and let perseverance finish its work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Those trials are going to equip us. When you walk through the tough times, there's a learning from that and an equipping from that. And we also come out the other end stronger, of course. So he says, be joyful in those times. Be joyful at all times. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, as Paul writes in Philippians. Huh? Sometimes it's easier to rejoice than others, obviously. We all know that. Alrighty, but we look forward to what's awaiting us. And in that, we can always rejoice. No matter what we're going through here, we can always look forward to what awaits us. Alrighty. And these trials will prove the genuineness of your faith. They test us, but our faith gets us through, which is of greater worth than gold. Can't put a price on faith, folks. You know, the stock market goes up and down like that. Gold goes up and down, but faith is priceless. Faith is going to get you through, right? Knowing that God's waiting there on the other side. Okay. And we know he's there. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Yeah. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Inexpressible joy. A joy that can't be expressed. Wow. Okay, again, when we think of someone expressing joy, I'm thinking about the little kid just jumping up and down, can't contain it. And here's one that can't even be expressed, right? In glorious joy. For you're receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Again, we get too caught up in the things of this world. We got to keep our hearts and minds on things above, too, and on what awaits us as believers. Yeah, this world's going to have its ups and downs, but we look forward. We look forward to life with him. And that's going to be the ultimate prize or the ultimate reward. And that we should be sharing with others as well. As Christians, we should not be able to contain our joy. We should be sharing that with others, the joy that we have, the hope that we have, right? That was in John, wasn't it? Always be, or in the other Peter, always be prepared to share the hope that you have in Christ Jesus. The reason for the hope that you have in Christ Jesus. There we go. Of what awaits us. Be sharing that with others along the way. All right, so this joy is easy in the good times, but joy is going to get you through the tough times as well. We had heard about that in Habakkuk today. Going way back in the Old Testament here. Sometimes life is tough. Can we have joy in the midst of that? We can. Because God is there with us in the midst of it. And with him there is joy. With him there is peace. With him there is love. So in the tough times, and this paints a picture here, which is not that great. The fig tree does not bud. And there are no grapes on the vines, so the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food. All right, for the people of the time, these are some big crops. These are some important ones, figs, grapes, and olives. They're dependent on this. It's an agrarian society, and they're eating a variety of things, but a big part of it is what they're raising, and these are their chief crops. If they're all failing, think about it around here. If all the corn failed, all the alfalfa failed, all the beans failed. Yikes. It's going to have widespread effects, isn't it? Very, very widespread effects. So that's the picture that's being painted here. Though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. No animals either because you can't raise anything to feed them. This is not good. I'm not a farmer. But yeah, I can imagine. So even though the crops are failing, even though there are no animals, it says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in God my Savior. Through the good times and the bad times, he is there. And we can always rejoice in his presence and what he's done for us. After all, it says, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. So in the midst of the tough times, we can still have a joy. It's not going to be that exuberant joy. But we can have peace. Like Paul, we have learned the secret of being content in all circumstances, like he says in Philippians. God's joy is what will sustain us in those times. The presence of God will sustain us. Our faith will sustain us in those tough times. And it may not be as bad as it's painted here. I mean, this is like an extreme. But we all go through tough times. There's not a single person here that hasn't been through tough times. Some of your times are tougher than others. Absolutely. Some last longer than others. But is God there with you through it? Absolutely, if we remember that, if we call on him, he is faithful, even when we're not. So you can have peace in that. You can have a type of joy, I guess, in those situations as well. The joy of knowing that God is there and that he cares. And Jesus knew about the tough times too. You think about what he suffered. We're coming up on Lent here in Holy Week, and if you think you've suffered in your life, yeah, just read about what he went through. It was tough. There's no doubt about it. But he had a purpose. He had a reason. He had a motivation for that. And we see that in Hebrews 12 too. It says, Jesus went through this. It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So he endured all the shame, the torture, the beatings, the whippings, and the cross. More pain than we can imagine. Why? For the joy set before him. Well, what's that joy? It's the joy of making us worthy to stand before God, to come before him. That was his joy. It's you and me, which I find extremely humbling, that you endure all that. Looking forward to what awaits, knowing that joy of being his people, being able to come and spend eternity with him. Wow. Wow. So this should result in an incredible joy. There's no doubt about it. Even the tough times. And that joy is basically priceless. The joy of what awaits us with God, the promise of heaven. We heard in the gospel today, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. It's a treasure of great value. We're not talking gold and jewels and pearls and things like that. This is a different kind of treasure, a very different kind. It's not a physical, shiny treasure. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Sold everything. It was worth everything to him. Once he realized the value of this, Lord, may we realize it as well, the value of our faith and our relationship with you, and may we take joy in that, Lord, and be willing to give all for it, because it is more important than anything here on earth, life with you, Lord. It exists for eternity. It's peace, it's joy, it's love, it's hope, it's all these things together, more than we can imagine. And we've been given access to this kingdom through Jesus. Wow, the kingdom of God, the reign and the rule of God. Looking forward to Revelations 21, where we're going to join him. He's going to be our God. We're going to be his people. There'll be no more pain, no more suffering, any of that stuff. Oh, it's all gone. There's nothing but good, because God is nothing but good. Looking forward to it. And to Alec, the last couple weeks visiting Dennis up there as he's, you know, spending his last days, and maybe watching right now, looking forward to that joy. And we all can. We all can. So let us, even in the tough times, remember the joy that we have and the reason for that joy that we have in Jesus. Let us live in joy no matter what the circumstances, to have that contentment, to have that peace, that serenity, to live in that joy, to exist in it. And let us go forth in joy as people of God. Amen.